Barbara. I'm an alcoholic.
Barbara!
Oh, wow. Thanks, Damien, for asking me to speak. Happy birthday, guys. Welcome to the newcomers. I come up here with a really heavy heart tonight because a friend of mine passed away a couple days ago. As far as I know, he was sober, but his thinking got the best of him. And that scares me as an alcoholic. And it's a real reminder to me that I came in here thinking that my problem was just drinking and discovered that my problem is up in my head. Because I removed the drugs and alcohol, and I'm still this person up here that needs a lot of help. I started drinking when I was a teenager. My sober day is July 12, 2012. I started drinking when I was about 15 because I had been raised in a really abusive child in home, and I didn't want to think about it. And I enjoyed some great functional alcoholic success for a long time, for about 12 years. I ended up in Los Angeles. I was doing really well for myself as far as earning money and the place that I lived and the life that I was living. I was just enjoying a lot of freedom and independence. But the last 12 years of my alcoholism were distinctly different. I hit a bottom in 2001. I'd started throwing some other chemicals into the mix early that year, and I didn't realize at the time that I was just depleting my serotonin. And the end of 2001, after 9/11, was the first time that I was admitted into a psych hospital for attempted suicide. And the next 7 years, I just went into a lower and deeper and darker bottom that I didn't think I would ever survive or come out of. I continued to try to commit suicide. During this time, I mean, all I can do is bullet point for you because it was so crazy. I was a drug dealer at one time. I went from living in Beverly Hills to living in Koreatown, and I moved out of Koreatown. Yeah. I moved out of Koreatown because the 28th Street gang shot at my window, in my living room window, and I was like, it's time to get out of here. That's where my alcoholism took me. I would have never guessed it. I'm a small town girl from Yuma, Arizona, and I would have never believed that I would one day be in K-Town dealing drugs, getting shot at. But that's where it took me, those were really dark days, terrifying days. I tried to take my life in crazy, crazy ways as well. I drank antifreeze, almost a quart of it. I overdosed on thousands and thousands of milligrams of sedatives out in the middle of the desert. I launched my car into a river. I mean, I wasn't kidding around. Like, I wanted to be gone. And I remember being in ERs, and I didn't have any faith in a higher power or an acceptance of a higher power at the time, but I remember being in ERs and waking up at the hospital and telling doctors what I did or took or whatever, and they were like, no way, that's not possible. One night, they'd even called my family to come say goodbye to me, and they came and said goodbye to me, and I woke up a few hours later, and they were so surprised that I lived. They didn't even send me to the psych ward. They were just like, go home. So, yeah, mi vida loca. That's how I lived. You know, I just wanted to, I was done. I was done with this life. And the only reason I stopped doing things like that is because I started getting this creepy feeling that wasn't in control of taking my life. There was a power that was keeping me alive, and it was not me. I didn't have that choice, and I was afraid that I was going to do something even more and more desperate, and I was going to end up in a nursing home on a feeding tube. And so I started thinking about maybe getting sober, because that was definitely... Well, I also had an encounter with a police officer while I was really drunk that had me thinking about getting sober. But I couldn't do it, and I didn't know that I didn't have that option. And this was like 20 years into drinking at this point, and I didn't know that I didn't have the option to just stop drinking. I was able to stop for 3 weeks here and 6 weeks there, just enough to be able to kind of put together some sort of a plan for my life, to go back to school and to get a new career path. And I hoped to get married and buy a house with a white picket fence. And I just couldn't do it. I was still so insecure and still so in my head and living in fear and always procrastinating. I couldn't get myself out there to actually put my life plan together. And I was seeing a therapist at the time. I'd been seeing her for like 6 months. And I went in to tell her one day that I was done with this life, and I felt like I had given it everything I could to try to put a life together, and I was just over it. I wanted her to understand that I needed to die, or I needed her to help me come up with a solution. And she told me for the second time that year that I was not bipolar and I was not manic depressive. I was an alcoholic. And I was completely insulted. I was. But I thought, you know what? Fine. She told me she didn't want to see me again unless I'd been to an AA meeting. And so despite what I felt about that, I went to an AA meeting on July 12th of 2012, and I announced myself as a newcomer, and I heard what I needed to hear that day. And then I went home, and I looked up, I Google searched untreated alcoholism, and I was amazed. The fear, the insecurity, the procrastination, the dishonesty, the irresponsibility, the inability to cope with life and have relationships with people, it was all me. And so I became very intrigued with this recovery program. And I remember hearing people at these speaker meetings talking about having massive quantities of sober time, 20 years, what? And they were happy and enjoying their lives. And they were talking about living lives like mine and being as desperate as I was when they had come into the program years and years before. And I just kept hearing what I needed to hear. I had never been sober in 90 days for as long as I could remember when I came in here. And so I did like 180 or more meetings in 90 days. And I just kept going to meetings every day for about 9 months. I just kept going to meetings every day, sometimes 3 and 4 meetings a day, because I didn't know anything else to keep me sober. And I've been working with a sponsor since about 30 days sober. I've made a couple of sponsor changes for this reason or that reason, but I've always had a sponsor. And I've always been working a step. And I'm thankful that all of my sponsors have always been sponsors that believed in service work and had me getting to the meetings early, greeting people, going up to newcomers when they announce themselves, or going up to a woman who shares in a meeting that says she's having a hard time. And I get in there and I'm of service to other women because that's what's been suggested by this program and my sponsors. Started doing the steps and really got to know myself for the first time. I'm getting to know myself at 40 years old for the first time in my life, and I'm just so thankful for that. By working the fourth step, I got to see who I really am. You know, I was so afraid to write all that down, but ultimately, I just got to see what's been failing all my life. I got to see how selfish and manipulative and dishonest and fearful I've always been. And then in 6 and 7, I got to see the character defects that flare up every time I get scared in life, and what cuts me off from being able to be functional on the job and functional with my friends, and what keeps me isolated at home and in my head and suicidal. Because that's ultimately what happens with me. I just give up. Life gets hard, and I just give up, and I want to die, or I want to drink, or I want to use, but I don't want to live, and I don't want to participate anymore. And being able to get to know myself and being able to see how my mind works sober is actually a beautiful experience. My sanity has been restored. I don't know what to say other than you couldn't have told me 5 years ago that I'd have my sanity today. For sure, when I walked in here a couple of years ago, I wasn't thinking I'd be up here at this podium today telling you that I'm a sane person. I've had some people that are in my inner circle know that I've had stuff come up in sobriety that's been intense, incredibly painful, incredibly difficult to walk through. And I walk through it with grace and dignity because you guys show me how. This program has showed me how to do that sober. I don't lose my head over it. I call my friends. I reach out. The harder my life gets, the more I throw myself into service. And that's what works for me. I have a higher power. I would have never believed that either. Every day I start my day with a third step prayer. And I meditate. I try to meditate every day. I believe miracles have happened in my life because of meditation, for sure because of this program. I've made a lot of amends, and that's been beautiful. I wish I had time to get into it with you tonight, but it was a beautiful process. I sponsor women right now, which is amazing. God, who thought I could be of service like that? have self-confidence today. I'm courageous. I'm resilient. I have self-esteem today. You know, not too much. It's not up here, and I don't think I'm better than anybody else. But you know what? I don't. Ooh, it's time. But I also don't think that I'm just undeserving of life and undeserving of happiness. And it's because of this program. It's because of you guys being honest and sharing yourselves with me. It's because I've been willing to share myself with you. And I don't know what happened with my friend the other day. I don't know, but I know that you guys keep me alive, and this program keeps me alive. And when I came in here a couple years ago, I was a dead woman. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that this program has saved my life. So if you're new here tonight, I hope you hear what you need to hear tonight. And I hope you never have to go back out there. Thanks for letting me be of service.